Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. All right. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a day where we focus ourselves on what the Lord would have us, need us to focus on today as we check our emotions at the door, praying for the office of the president so that souls can be saved and we can reach the destiny of this nation, which is to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And today is a day where the Holy Spirit has led and bringing things to the surface in our study of reordering our day that aligns with what's actually happening in the world and can really help us understand why we need to pray for certain things naturally, spiritually, soulishly, economically, other areas as well. And we'll want to start off in building this foundation so it'll help us understand what the rest of this episode will be about of faithful stewarding. As we start off in Ecclesiastes 11, where we go through scripture here, as the Ecclesiastes here tells us about faithful stewarding and leads us into a description and telling us what we should be doing to be faithful in our stewarding. And so it starts off in verse 1, and I'll highlight the verse that I really want to focus on today. It says, "Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth." And this is where a lot of financial advisors, biblically, on the biblical foundation of diversification, if you've ever heard that, this is where this idea comes from biblically. And it says, "If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls toward the south or toward the north, whether the tree falls, there it lies. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at clouds will not reap." Basically, if you're lazy, you're not doing anything, you're not going to gain a reward. And that's what the parable of the talents in the New Testament Jesus talks about is about as well. "Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things." Basically, we're not God. We can't predict. We can't control everything. And saying it there. And this is the scripture, the verse of the day, verse 6, that we need to, that gives us an action, something we can take and apply to our lives and apply to our prayer time in the morning, really throughout the day, of knowing what to do with our resources and the stewarding of it that God, the resources that God has given us. And it says here, "Sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good." And it continues to go on, "The light is pleasant, it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your heart. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove grief and anger from your heart, and put away from your body, because this childhood and prime of life are fleeting." And when we see verse 6 of telling us, showing us, "Sowing your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether the morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good." A prayer point for this is to ask the Lord in the morning what to sow in the morning so your seed will prosper. Of where we don't know and can't control, we ask the Lord, where, okay, God, what do we do? Where should I spend not just my resources, but the time as well? Because the whole purpose of reordering your day is to be more effective and efficient with the time that the Lord has given you. And that's one of the most valuable resources we have in this lifetime, this time on earth here. So we want to continue to ask the Lord what to sow in the morning. And obviously in the scripture case, it's agricultural, because that's the basic economic understanding that they had of how they survived. And hey, some people may even be doing that now, which is not a bad idea. So we go with that understanding we are not in control. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Now God can tell us where to be, where to think, what to think, and where to put our resources that can help us survive the scenarios that we're in. So we want to rely upon that and rely upon the relationship we have with the Lord to guide us through these scenarios, even in this dark time. Okay, now I want to dive into some things first that we need to pray for and go through some scenarios that deal with this Ecclesiastes teaching here this morning. And first, we want to pray for – there's really no need for an update on the Ukraine issue. The negotiations are going okay, supposedly, with Russia possibly ending soon. Currently, as I speak, the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, is preparing and has started his speech to leaders publicly in the United States. So we want to intercede for the Biden administration and those involved in the House and the Senate to have the wisdom and the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit on this whole situation with Russia, Ukraine, China, other things, and ultimately pray against war. Pray that this comes to an end swiftly so that we can get to what the Lord would want to be doing right now of being people, being that voice for his kingdom, and so that we can make disciples of nations and not have lives be lost as have happened in the past because of world wars. So there's that basic understanding. We're going to continue to pray on that as we navigate this. Because of circumstances, we haven't entered into a war, but obviously with Republicans, Democrats pushing for no-fly zones, and that's supposedly what Zelensky is going to be asking for, more weapons and for more involvement from other countries, as he did yesterday with in front of the Canadian Parliament, of asking for a no-fly zone, which Russia has said that is an act of war from NATO that could escalate things. So world leaders need to be using wisdom, help Ukraine in any way possible in this situation, and hopefully that Russia end its attack upon Ukraine to prevent a world war. Now, I want to move on to another story. As we talked about on Monday, reminding ourselves that we need to pray for protection over President Biden during his times of dementia. And if you saw yesterday the sad state of affairs that the president is allowed to go out in public in front of the world, and he misspoke, and he said the title of this is very sad. The First Lady's husband contracted COVID, which would be him. And I'm not going to play this video. This is very, very alarming. He's laughing at himself because he's a jokester. That's just who he is. He's always been that way. But the people at the White House are cheering him and laughing him for making this mistake. And his wife speaks up and corrects him, and he corrects himself. The president of the United States should not have to be corrected on the basics of that the First Lady is his wife. And if he says the First Lady, the lady's husband, has tested positive for COVID, that means him. This is sad. And so while we're seeing these public displays of dementia, what's happening behind closed doors? What's happening in private? And we want to continue to intercede for a blanket of protection to be around Joe Biden during his moments of dementia so that his staff and the administration doesn't take advantage of him during these times of weakness. That's been on the heart of the Father right now, to pray for protection of the president, to make sure that even though there's a lot of things he would do that we would disagree with biblically, but there's even more things that are happening right now while he's in these states of dementia that he most likely wouldn't do if he were to be in the right mind. And so we just, during those moments, it looks unfortunate that there's nothing we can really do about it. And it's sad that his family would put him out there like that, more than anything. So we want to continue to pray for him to be protected in those moments, so that freedoms aren't being eroded at while he's going through these moments of dementia. Okay, a small victory that came out yesterday is that Biden and Raskin have removed the recommendation for her to be the Fed chair, vice chairman, after Joe Manchin and other senators basically came out publicly and said, we're not going to support her. And that was kind of the final nail on the coffin. And let's remind ourselves why this was a good thing. Number one, huge thing. She came out publicly and said things that would show she is an activist. She is also married to a sitting Democratic congressman, Jamie Raskin. I'm not saying that somebody who's married to somebody can't be objective, but in this case, someone who was involved in the second impeachment of quote unquote President Trump has come out publicly and said things, and also works at Duke University Law School, where her work is said to include the adaptation of financial regulatory tools as they pertain to climate risk. And even before the Committee on Banking and Urban Affairs in February said that that the Federal Reserve's job is to not involve directing banks to make loans on specific sectors, or to avoid making loans to particular sectors, when she said the very opposite before. And Joe Manchin called this out and saying this is just confirmation bias. She's just saying whatever she can to get in office. And they caught it. They called it out. There's wisdom there in these few senators who called this out. So there's a brief victory. And the reason this is important is because this is a 10-year position at the Federal Reserve. 10-year position, somebody like this who can get in, create a stronghold for things that the Federal Reserve couldn't do. And the Federal Reserve is stated goals to try to control the markets, reduce inflation, increase employment, and trying to play God. And there's a whole argument about that, that obviously that's another, we could spend all day praying and talking about that, but that's a small victory. And then another victory came out. I just want to talk about this briefly, is that the Senate voted to repeal the mask mandate for planes and public transportation, Mitt Romney being the only one to vote against. And so now it heads to the House for confirmation and moving forward, because it's this senseless political theater that's being played now. And understanding this, the further it goes along, the further the spirit of totalitarianism, socialism, communism is allowed to make its ever increasing reach into society and the world at large. Now, I want to talk about a few things of things that we need to be praying for in the season ahead, not just for this administration, but for our political leaders as well, as we are coming through a time where inflation is at a 40-year high. And I want to point some things out, and Joe Manchin is there's a clip from Joe Manchin that I want to play that is very key, as he says some things that are very important, and there's some good, there's some bad, and I want to point some things out so we understand why we need to be praying for our leaders. And in a objective point of view and not getting caught up in our emotions. So the I'll just play this interaction here. This first one's about a minute long. This is a somewhat a good policy of understanding, okay, we need to do something.
Good point. The president is also blaming the high gas prices right now and the inflation. He's blaming Russia, labeling it Putin's price hike. Can the White House really, though, claim Putin is solely responsible? Because prices, as you know, have been rising long before the Russian invasion.
Well, no doubt about it. That's made a great increase as far as in the price of fuel at the pump. But the inflation is what's killing all of us, I can tell you.
So what's interesting is you're seeing here, even CNN is calling out what's happening with inflation for the Biden administration. They're speaking truth. That should tell you something right now.
Inflation is hurting every West Virginian. And everybody that goes to the store or drives to work or whatever and seeing it directly affecting their decisions they're making and how they're providing for their family. Inflation is the one killer. It is a tax. Inflation is a tax no matter how you look at it. And you got to get your financial house in order.
Got to get your financial house in order. That's exactly right. And this is good to see coming from Joe Manchin. Obviously, he tends to be more open-minded to the options available to get us out of this scenario because he is in a purple state, West Virginia, who relies upon the energy sector very heavily. But what he says here next should give us pause and concern and a reason to pray for our leaders on an economic standpoint, because there are basic things that he says here that are very alarming and are utopian. They're idealistic and they're not based upon anything within reality. And we need leaders who are looking at decisions and being able to make the hard decisions to provide an opportunity economically for us to be able to help those in need, but also provide an opportunity for those who need work to be able to get themselves out of their scenario, to know where to put the proper seeds and where to sow. And what he says here is alarming.
You got to have a tax code that works. You got
That's
to
a good
fight
thing.
The high cost of prescription drugs.
I'll get to that in a second.
And we've got to also, we can walk and chew with our climate positions and our.
That's true too. We should be able to do that, but right now we're not because of political agendas.
Our country by basically making sure that we're energy independent. We have.
That's been done, and we need to get back to doing that.
The cleanest fossil fuels. We produce them cleaner than anybody. And also, we have the ability to invest in the new technology and the cleaner technology that we need for a better climate. We can do it all.
That right there is alarming. We can do it all. Hold on there. Time out. This is a economics 101 lesson. The basic understanding of economics, and I'm going to share this, I'm not just making this up, is the term scarcity. If you've never heard it before, you understand it more than anything. When you go to a grocery store, you have a limited amount of money to be able to buy certain things, and you can't buy every single thing that you want. You know, a little kid thinks, oh, they walk into a store, I just want all this, all the candy, you know, they just want it all. Well, hey, hold on there. You have a budget that you should be living by. And when you walk into a store, you should know, okay, I can only buy a certain amount of things. And I want to briefly talk about this description of what scarcity is, because this will help us understand we can't do everything. And this thought that we can needs to be rationalized and understood so that we can get back to a place of being good stewards of the resources that we have. And that's what Ecclesiastes tells us, is you don't know where or when the seeds will grow. So you need to diversify and listen to the Lord of where to put your things. And so scarcity refers to the basic economics problem, the gap between limited resources and a theoretical limitless wants. The situation requires people to make decisions about how to allocate resources efficiently in order to satisfy basic needs, as many additional wants as possible. Any resources has a non-zero cost to consume is scarce. Basically, if it costs money, it's scarce to some degree. But what matters in practice is relative scarcity. And they a definition by an economics professor who wrote an essay in 1932 on the essay of nature and significance of economic science. British economist Lionel Robbins defined the discipline in terms of scarcity. The basic understanding of economics, he says, is economics is a science which studies human behavior as a relationship between ends and scarce means which have alternative uses. And when, if you were to study economics in university, this would be one of the basic foundational principles that they would teach you. The reason I point this out is to show that our leaders who are in position to make decisions economically, financially, for our nation and the future of our nation do not understand basic economics. Even AOC, who says she has a degree in economics, shows she does not understand the basic economic principles. And this is one of them, which leads me into next video that I want to play from Pete Buttigieg, which goes in a line with this misunderstanding of what it takes to get things done. And so I want to play this clip and talk about it, because this shows a complete misunderstanding, not only from congressional leaders, Senate leaders, but also those within the administration, and someone who should be having a full grasp of this, but yet doesn't.
Mission has been very clear about not wanting to raise taxes on average Americans, on the middle class, but gas prices at the pump have been a huge tax on anybody who is driving anywhere. What do you do about that? And are you in favor of potentially putting a hold on the national gas tax in the meantime until those prices do come down?
Well, it continues to be important to keep options open. As you know, the president's taken a lot of steps to bring relief and to help stabilize oil prices, including that big release from the strategic.
False. A huge release from the strategic reserves is a bad decision in a time of high gas prices. Because when they release it, not only does it not do anything, because it's only for, as we've seen before, for 2 days, adds relief. But then you have to buy back, and you have to buy back at a higher price. We've seen this happen. It's happening again.
Petroleum reserve. Of course, the long-term solution for this is energy independence and a shift to
Energy independence and a shift to what they're deeming renewable energies. That is what they mean as energy independence. We've talked about that before ad nauseum.
Renewable energy.
But what he says next is alarming.
But let's also remember that while oil prices and gas prices are famously something that is largely outside of the direct control of any political figure.
That is a lie. And he's smirking and smiling. It's a misnomer. We're seeing it happening. Why on day one was this the thing that the Biden administration attacked?
There are a lot of things that we could be doing right now that would bring direct relief to the pocketbooks of American families that are greater than most any family's gasoline bill. That includes lowering the cost of insulin. President's for it. We're getting a lot of pushback from it.
Okay. This is where I want to pause. I said I'd talk about this. Joe Manchin said the same thing earlier. And I just want to point that out, because this is where the Biden administration is coming in and, again, having a complete lack of understanding of the basics of economics. And I want to point back to, week one of Biden's presidency, where he froze two Trump drug pricing rules that would it was aimed at lowering drug prices, including one dealing with insulin and EpiPens for underserved patients. And what it would have done was force the community or the companies who were primary care services to underserved communities to pass along discounts they received on insulin and EpiPens to their patients. He removed that. And also the fact of allowing everyone to understand how much things cost so that they could decide and shop around for the best cost-effective option. Biden removed that so that they supposedly could ensure that Biden officials have the opportunity to review them. You should have known that before you went in. You don't just go in, we're going to look at it and then figure. No, you go in knowing this is what you're supposed to be doing. before you get elected, having a plan. They didn't have a plan and they removed it. And now they're saying, well, people are fighting us on it. Well, because this was already done and you removed it. So I want to point this out because we need to intercede for leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, whether they be in office or new leaders who need to come up and have the fear of the Lord and use wisdom and revelation on economic policies, because we're seeing it hit us today. And a lot of Jesus's parables, we're dealing with finances. We're dealing with how to deal with money. We're dealing with how to have a relationship and if you should have a relationship with debt and the risks involved in it. The wisdom of the Lord is in Leviticus talks about how those who, if you want to prosper generationally, to not use debt. Now, I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but there is wisdom in not. Now, there's some cases where it is wise, but you still have to understand the risk. So I say all that to deal with this, the Ecclesiastes 11 principle that we're dealing with, being faithful stewards, because we have leaders who are focusing on things for political reasons and doing things that are harming everyday Americans and the worldwide economy because of a political agenda. And we need people who understand that. They're making some decisions right now because it's affecting everybody. And, well, there's midterms coming up. And they need to understand these decisions all along the way. Because we're seeing now China make steps towards getting involved on the global scale of taking its next step forward. And this is why it's important to have leaders who understand economic decisions, is because now we're dealing with another nation who's trying to take a step up and push another set of ideals, or he says, allow another set of ideals. And in this relationship with Saudi Arabia, who is considering accepting yuan instead of dollars for Chinese oil sales, it's happening because China has been in agreement with what Saudi Arabia is doing, and more so saying nothing, just like they're doing with Russia. So this is what's very alarming in all of this, and where we need wisdom from those within the administration, those with the House of Representatives, and those within the Senate to start understanding this stuff, because we're getting hammered over the head because China is just, yeah, cool, let's start accepting this. And they've been working on this relationship for a while with Saudi Arabia. Also at the same time, warning, and why, you know, at the beginning we talked about praying with China involved in all of this, because China has now ordered 13 aircraft to penetrate Taiwan's neutral zone. Taiwan has responded, and this is not the first time they've done this. They've continued to do this, scoping things out of how to do an amphibious attack, most likely. Pray against this. This would be another step towards world war. And at the same time all of this is happening, I think we need to be aware of what's happening in China. And China is locking down multiple provinces as the Omicron variant, they're calling it, has outbroken in 28 different provinces. And they're forcing people to stay at home, to be locked down. And this is why they're in that situation, is because they locked down before. This will also affect and has potential to threaten even further the inflation issue we're dealing with, as we get a lot of our resources coming in from China, and our supply chain disruptions will occur there as well, as we scramble to find the resources that we would have gotten cheaper at China. Now, whether that's a good thing or bad thing to get them cheaper from China, I think we're seeing the effects of that with chip shortages and medical supplies and the cause of concerns that that has as China shuts down. And the reason this is important is the province of Shenzhen, the city of Shenzhen, is because it's a major, major port city for China to import, export, more export things. So we need leaders who have wisdom on these issues and to stop playing political theater. And if you want to, if you haven't ever read this, I've talked about this book several times. If you want to understand at a deeper level, I'm going through it slowly with on here, but at a deeper level, if you yourself want to understand this, this book from Dennis Peacock on the destiny of nations. He wrote it in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. And he outlined the situation that we're in a lot, 2012. This is the copy from 2012. And he outlined a lot of the economic situations we're in and our need to do this very thing of praying for leaders to arise who understand the basics of economics, because right now they do not. And when last week, when we passed a $1.5 trillion bill that got put into place, that not only eroded some of our freedoms that we won't know for a long time, but also hurt us economically as we continue to go down this track of letting our national debt rise and rise and rise. And as Joe Manchin said, we need to get our financial house in order. And I will agree with him on that. How he's going about it is, that's up for debate. It's something that needs to be discussed. But there needs to be wisdom and a fear of the Lord now and in the days ahead to get us out of this position so that we can be in a position to be able to be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. So with that, thank you to every one of you for following along, those who watched on Facebook, Rumble, and listen on podcasts, wherever you listen to. Greatly appreciate it. Be sure to share with those who you know would want to intercede for not only this nation, but that of the office of the president, so that the Holy Spirit can come into the White House and into our leaders of our nation during this time, and especially during this time of dementia that the president has right now. Of making sure he has a covering over him, that he is not being taken advantage of by his staff in this season to continue to cause more disastrous policy decisions from being implemented and put forward, and more so things that are anti-biblical and erode away at the opportunity of being able to stand up for basic human freedoms, such as the fight for life. So with that, I end on that. And don't forget, we have our noon prayer today at Appeal to Heaven, noon online and at Shreveport-Bossier, at Christian Center in Shreveport-Bossier area for those who can't attend. If not, join us online, pray and standing for this nation as we cry out to the Lord during this time where our leaders are ignoring the cries of the people. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.